Commission during 2017. We want to roll out better tools for public involvement. The goal is better participation from applicants, from neighbors, from neighborhood associations, and from all citizens of Portland. Greater participation by the public and a greater understanding of the D overlay will hopefully lead all of Portland citizens to be advocates for the design review process, because, you know, I think that it's fairly clear that the reason we love the city that we have today is largely due to how active design review has been over the course of the last 30 years. So also, you will be seeing more appeals. Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for asking the question about appeals. I wanted to be sure to touch on this, because we are hearing so many more cases now than we ever have in the past. The appeals, I believe, are proportional to the quantity of the cases that are in front of the Design Commission now. Of the four that cases that have been appealed since I have been a commissioner, three of them have been appeals of conditions. So the cases have been approved, but they've been approved with conditions. Only one has been an appeal of a denial. And third, Commissioner Udaly, you made reference to density goals and inevitable growth in your introduction. I wanted to take just a minute to focus on the increase in density that we can expect in close-in neighborhoods. There will be a great change in the central city in between now and 2035. The Portland plan, I think you know, that the expectation is 135,000 additional households by 2035. Central City will have a great number of those housing units. In 2016, there was one housing project in the Central East Side, 85 units, that was approved. So far in 2017, 433 housing units have been approved in the Central East Side. So the Central East Side is going to change significantly, and we are going to see a major uptick in both the scale and the density of the housing that is proposed in that area. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next three, please.
Are Thomas Robinson, Bob Hastings, and Teresa Rayford.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'll go on the order.
Do you need to pull up your presentation?
Oh, no. I'm just testifying on the aisle, but I was the third person. So.
Okay.
While we queue this up, and okay, I'm Bob Hastings, agency architect for TriMet, and I'm here to share some acknowledgments about the design review process with my colleagues Teresa Boyle with PBOT, and also Tim Heron with Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm going to quickly scroll through my slides for the benefit of everyone. The main points I want to make is that we have established a role of collaboration between our bureaus and with TriMet. We have created a document over the years, a compendium of elements that have gone before design review, and this benchmark is now established a level of quality in the city. This is where we go from, not where we go down. And we've done this, again, in collaboration with the process of design development through the design review advisory process. We've worked with several of the commissioners or commissions over the years, so it's an iterative process, but it was established back in the time when we recognized that we had things that we needed to do for our transit projects in terms of the elements of consistency, how it runs, how it works, how people understand how to use it. But we also had an opportunity to do elements of distinction. And these are the ways that you heard the term context relates to the projects that we have done over the years and will continue to do into the future, knock on wood. So on the left, you have a view of the new shelters on the Orange Line that provide the basic shelter and protection for our patrons, as well as the first ever eco track that was put at the Lincoln Station. And that was not hubris that we did that. That was something that actually came through the design review process with the commissioners about how do we test and innovate on light rail projects that actually contribute to the quality of the neighborhoods in which they travel. We also received early assistance with the commission. We were looking at alternatives for a big, long structure that's going to go over Harbor Drive. Again, this is a way that our infrastructure projects, this sort of linear building, if you will, of 7.5 miles, could contribute at every foot of the way to the quality of the streets with which we operate. We have developed this as a process because the commission trusts that we have understanding of what quality is in the public realm. And they also see that we are so engaged with our public and with both our users as well as our neighborhoods and how we implement these projects. Just to roll through some of the projects that you're probably familiar with, the mall revitalization project in downtown, bringing even more public art onto the thoroughfare, changing the nature of the streets and the stations so they become more active, as David was talking about in terms of the streetscape for people. And then the Orange Line, South Waterfront, which has really helped move forward some of the other projects that you'll see from Zidell Yards and OHSU. But we continue to take that level of quality, not just in the deed overlay, but through the whole system that we design. We do. So just in making my point is that when I hear about the Dozer Report and wanting to have a Citizens Academy, creating a capacity within our neighborhoods, within the neighborhoods that we go in, inside the D overlay, outside the D overlay, this is extremely important because that's where we really hear what people value and what they both are concerned about, but what are their hopes. We bring that into the commission process, and sometimes they're helpful making those points to the commissioner, but also that sense of engagement that we have with each commission that we went through. As we look down the road to the future, we are going to be building on the successes and the relationships that we have established into the future. How those projects play out, you'll see them coming through on the commission in the future.
Commissioner Fish.
I just wanted to say, because you're very heavy on the Orange Line here, that just to compliment TriMet for how you ended up with. I now.
Microphone's not on.
Sorry. I live downtown now, and so. Pavlovian or something. I mean, it's like. So I live downtown in a rental apartment with my family, and on Easter, for example, we got on our bikes and we went down Tom McCall, went over to Tillicken, took the Orange Line as far as the infrastructure would take us. That's another issue because I hope we build that bike infrastructure out further. Went through the neighborhoods, got to Crystal Spring, which is an amazing destination. Then worked our way back through Eastmoreland and then did some zigging and zagging and then came back through the Orange Line infrastructure and then ended up in the River District, then home. But what you've created, and some of these pictures illustrated along the Orange Line with the plantings, the infrastructure, the public art, I love the public art is just off the chart. And the way it integrates into the neighborhood is just extraordinary. And it's become every weekend our destination because it's a safe place to ride a bike, but it's also so beautiful. And it does feel of the place. So if some of that comes through the collaboration with the commission, then I would say that's a hugely successful collaboration.
Thank you. To extend that a little bit too, I made the comment earlier about the collaboration with the different bureaus. And in particular, this is where I can throw a bone, to the Bureau of Environmental Services, we've had extraordinary success in kind of, raising the bar on what we can do with stormwater treatments and with the landscaping along the streetscape. So we've had some very early tentative steps. The EcoTrack at the Lincoln Station was, that effort. That actually took an eco-roof technology and put it into a public street. So that is now our common benchmark, and we're looking to extend that and do more of that into the future. But those opportunities to innovate comes with the collaboration that we get to do with the Bureau of Development Services, PBOT, and the other ones, too. So kudos to them.
Thank you.
If I might also add my thanks for your collaboration and admiration for the beauty of the designs. If there could, and I want to say this while you're here and the Design Commission, if the shelters could provide more shelter, that would be really helpful. They are lovely to look at, but they don't. There's only a couple of spots on them where you can stand and not get wet. And then when it's windy, it doesn't have all that much sideways protection either. So as we're continuing to refine our plans, thinking about that, I'd really appreciate it.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
You would like to? Good afternoon. My name is Thomas Robinson. I'm the principal of Lever Architecture. I just first wanted to thank the Design Commission on behalf of our team for the award today. That was sort of a surprise, so it wasn't part of the thing. But one of the things I wanted to sort of address is we've been through design review a number of things, but instead of talking about design review, I wanted to talk about design as a whole, because design review is essentially about making sure that buildings are well designed. And I think that that good design, whether it's public or private, whether it's housing, whether it's office, is about creating great experiences for everyone in the city. And good design is an expression of a democratic and open society. And I think if a project cannot get through this commission and be approved by the commission, it is not good design. And I think it's because we have probably one of the most experienced design review commissions I've ever experienced anywhere in the country. And we work nationally. And we have never had any issues getting our projects through design review. Actually, I think design review has improved our projects. And I think that if people focus on design and what good design is, this idea of an expression of our culture, that everyone deserves it, whether it's public housing or any of these other projects, it will be a benefit to our city. So I just wanted to say that and express my support for the work that the volunteers have done here.
Thank you, and congratulations. It's a very impressive project.
Yeah, thank you.
Justifiably. Good afternoon.
Thank you. And for the record, my name is Teresa Rayford, and again, I'm a native Oregonian. And when it comes to design review, I want to focus on that really quick, because that promotes accountability and effectiveness because of the process that it takes to build those committees that join together to have accountability and oversight for long-term goals of the entire project. So I want to go ahead and say kudo on what he said. I want to second that award. But at the same time, when we talk about livability for all in the design review and the whole process of including all people, one of the comments that Nick said about the poorest people, and then, this relativity with TriMet. As a person that has been marginalized in my community, in the hometown that I was born in, that my parents were born in, and my grandfather was born in, I've not been able to release myself of the marginalization, the criminalization, the perspective that my brown skin makes me poor. And so what we say in design review and in building a culture of inclusivity, we have to acknowledge that, partnerships with bureaus that lead to, like, prisons that are partnered with TriMet, and the increased criminalization of people that are in those communities, that as bureaus, you have to be very respectful to the longevity and the demarginalization of people that are using their voices and civic engagement to bring these issues to the table. Because in our communities, there is no one speaking to that. And so, again, I want to commend the people that came up to this table before us, because they're talking about doing a more diverse and more inclusive additional committee, so that maybe they'll be able to bring in that type of prospectus. And so I think that on your end, as the city commissioners, that you have to have that type of lens and not be so quick to fund programs that incarcerate and isolate and criminalize. I think that the partnership that you have with TriMet, the design review in my mind, and what I could look at it for the next 20 years, is additional children having their IDs removed from officers that are working in partnership with you. I can see more children coming to me for advocacy because they've been tased or handcuffed while riding TriMet, parents included, and then those same parents losing their children to foster care services and ankle bracelets because they got arrested together for not pulling out their ID in a timely fashion in areas that have been redesigned. And so to get that on the record is very important, because I don't see anybody from any of those communities that represent social justice and the demarginalization of people of color here for this agenda item. But I think that it's very important, because as a state, we pass legislation to end profiling. And earlier today, in the first session, we were talking about funding housing for people that might be informants and working with the police to basically investigate people illegally. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you all for your testimony.
The next three are Cameron Stark, Kristen Calhoun, and Noel Johnson. And those are the last three who signed up.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Cameron's passing. Okay. Is there Kristen Calhoun or Noel? Oh, got it. Thank you. Noel, sorry.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm Noel Johnson, and I'm a developer here in Portland, and I'm pleased to be here because it's an important subject. I want to first start just by acknowledging a few things, kind of echoing the previous developers here in terms of the huge volunteer civic commitment and like past and present members of the commission have made. I am unbelievably impressed by what professional caliber and sort of genuine focus and commitment is here. You've heard from the commission members here themselves, and I think that extends to all of them. I also think it's important to mention the trade-offs that we face in this discussion right here, because there is this dynamic where if you don't know what Portland was like before design review had its influence and really had the ability to prevent the bummer of buildings that so often do occur, you don't know what you don't know. And so I'm 38. I've developed over 20 institutional-scale large projects, and that makes me somewhat weird, but I can tell you that the architects and engineers and developers that are my age or younger don't share and don't sort of have some of the context that the developers you've heard before me benefit from. So if we seek to emulate what some of those individuals have accomplished and try and keep the bar high, we also get very frustrated, and I think you're not hearing some of the concern or lack of frustration that they have as their projects go through the system. And what happens, in my concern, is that they're going to, without appreciating the benefits of the system, demand that the system be thrown away. So, you know, the Goat Blocks is one project that I worked on with a great team, and we didn't put 200 additional units, even though it was allowed outright, on top of the grocery store that we were building. That's a bummer from housing affordability and or supply standards and or comprehensive 2035 standards. It took 19 hours of design review hearing. Undoubtedly, the project got better. But 19 hours over 303 days, which is a bit longer than a 120-day goal. Like, that has been really hard for me to explain the trade-offs to my sort of my peers in my age. And I sort of want to raise the red flag that we're all aware of that going forward as we seek to improve the system and make it better, because it is valuable. And so I just want to share that perspective.
Thank you. And that's an important perspective. I appreciate that as well. Thank you.
So, Mayor, I move to accept the report.
We have a motion.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Fish, a second by Commissioner Fritz. Is there any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Fish?
Well, first, thank you for an outstanding report. And I love this PowerPoint, and I've been struggling to figure out where all these buildings are located. But now I have some homework. I love the fact that you've chosen an affordable housing project with your first Design Excellence Award. And I especially love it because while Home Forward is one of the partners on this project, many years ago, Home Forward, then called Housing Authority of Portland, was thinking about a signature building in the same district. And at that time, was toying with the idea of partnering with Frank Gehry, which I thought in concept was an okay idea, but it turned out it would have been the most expensive affordable housing development in the history of the world and would not have been good for Home Forward's brand to do that. And so I think it's especially wonderful that you're honoring a building that is using innovative technology, keeping the cost down and delivering a beautiful and cost-effective building without the glamour of some, international architect attachment. Not to say anything, we have a wonderful architect firm, but I thought the Gehry thing was a bit too much on the vanity side myself. And so the fact that it's affordable and beautiful is really wonderful. And I hope that sets the standard for other people doing affordable housing. Because in my view, our value system should be very simple. We build train stations for people, and they're beautiful. We build libraries for people, and they're beautiful. We're going to spend a fortune to rebuild our high schools and our public schools to make them functional and beautiful. Where is it written that low-income people have to live in buildings that are not beautiful? And why should we ever subscribe to that as a values proposition? They're public resources. They should be built to last. They should be energy efficient and sustainable, and they should be beautiful. If I take one thing away from this hearing, and it's been reinforced in a couple of appeals we've had, it is that you need more resources. And I'll be interested to hear from the commissioner in charge whether that's a combination of staff resources and an expanded commission. But since we're going through an unprecedented building boom, it kind of almost felt, as you were describing it, it felt almost like, you know, what happens when Congress, when the Senate doesn't fill judicial vacancies and you have a smaller number of judges doing twice the amount of work. That doesn't seem fair. And by the way, if people choose to opt out of the system because they're frustrated, I think the council is going to start sending a message that you got to go back and work with design review, because we don't want to be the opt-out with people that don't actually engage the process, and we can't set that precedent. So if we need more resources and more commissioners, I will look to the commissioner in charge to make that recommendation. But that it seemed to me to make sense, at least for this period of unprecedented growth. It really is a wonderful presentation. I appreciate everyone who took time out to testify. And I'm proud of your work and pleased to support it. Aye.
You, Daly.
I want to thank the Design Commission once again for their service to our city. I also want to thank the people who came here to testify today. It was especially nice to hear from local developers and architects speaking out in support of our Design Commission, because, as is often the case, the detractors are often the loudest in the room. And it's gratifying to hear from people that have decades of experience with this process that they're supportive. I had a really hard time deciding what I wanted to be when I grew up, which is part of how I ended up here. But architecture and urban design is of special interest to me. My favorite comfort reading is A Pattern Language by Christopher Alexander. So I am thrilled to get to work with you, get to know you, and be involved in this process of improving, expanding our service to the city, as well as helping create better design commission customers or consumers. I think that's an important part of this as well. So thank you again. And
it's an aye.
Aye. So,
Fritz. Thank you, everybody who came today and for this great presentation. Thank you very much to the Design Commission for all the work you put in, and David for your leadership. I don't remember having a vice chair coming in, spending his entire time saying how much he appreciates your leadership, and obviously heartfelt. So thank you on behalf of the council as well. One of the legacies of former Director Paul Scarlett is in the Design Commission, reflecting the faces that are in our community. And I hope that if there is a second one, that a similar attention to be making sure that broad spectrum of Portlanders get to serve on it will be paid by everyone. With Tim Herron still at the helm, I'm sure that will happen. So thank you very much for all of your work. I actually have found the appeals that we've had coming to council fascinating, and always help me understand more about why we prefer to have you doing a lot of the hard work, because it's not my area of specialty, but it's certainly an area of interest. So thank you very much for this report. Aye.
Wheeler.
I'd like to thank everybody for bringing this forward, and Commissioner Udaly, I appreciate the good hard work you've done early on this, and this was a very timely report. I think it's important for us to hear the good things that are happening with regard to the design review process. I want to applaud the leadership and remind everybody it does not pay very well as a gig. And in many cases, it's thankless, and it takes hours and hours. And I want to applaud all of you for your service. I want to be mindful of two things we heard during the public testimony, both of which I think are really important messages for us to hear. This is a good platform, and it's one that we can build from, and we heard former Chair Russell describe what he thought were some of the strengths and some of the evolution over the years. We heard current Design Review Commission members talking about some of the great architecture that's being built in the city and that's even being enhanced. We heard from some developers through this process, which I think is a great strength. But we can never be too confident in our own views of what community really is and who community is. And I know there's an effort on your part to try and diversify the design review process and be more receptive to voices that maybe have not historically been around the table when we're describing what the community's look, feel, and character is. And so that's an important statement that we have to keep front and center. The second one that I think I heard, and I don't want to misspeak, but I thought I heard a generational question being raised as well. By design, if I can use that word, the Design Review Commission has people at the top of their game who are illustrious and highly qualified professionals. And yet there's a lot of young people in this community who seek to follow in your footsteps. And they have a lot to learn and a lot to benefit from your experience. And I think there's an intergenerational sharing opportunity here. And one individual testified that maybe we aren't quite getting that sharing opportunity quite right, and therefore it's manifesting itself as a bit of frustration. Like, what's with these guys? I'm trying to build a building, and they're asking all these pesky questions. I'm filling in the blanks. So maybe there's a real opportunity there, and I'd look forward to exploring that in a little more capacity, particularly as people in your field get to the end of their careers and, like you, say, I want to start giving back something to the community. I can never stress enough the intergenerational values, and sharing is so important to this young generation, as is the diversity question. Like everybody else, I look forward to any suggestions or thoughts or ideas that Commissioner Udaly has with regard to this process and working and collaborating with all of you. It'll be an interesting conversation in the weeks, months, and years ahead. Thank you. I vote aye, and the report is gratefully accepted on behalf of the City Council, Commissioner. Thank you. Just for the record, we had an item 382. We didn't finish this